All right. Thank you very much. It is a pleasure to be here. It's good to see you all again after 2.5 years. You didn't think I'd recognize you, did you? But I do. Do you recognize me? You do also. All right. Well, it's good to be back, and I recognize a number of you. And I've known your pastor for many years now, his family. And it is just an honor to be back with you here in No Man's Land, Theodosia, Missouri. I'll be very truthful. I have no idea where I've been the last 2.5 hours. I've been on every alphabet highway in Missouri. JJ, P, A, B, ZZ. I have no idea where I've been. My MapQuest took me through Ozark instead of coming on down to 160. And may I say from experience, don't try to get to Springfield or back to Theodosia through Ozark. Do not do that. It is not a fun trip. You will add much time to your trip if you do. And so you can, you know, I learned a lot though the last two and a half hours, Brother Faust. I mean, I've learned a lot. Christians don't follow directions. If we say go left, we say no, we need to go right. We just don't follow directions. We think we know better, or we think we know it all. And most of the time we don't. I've learned some things. I mean, God has dealt my heart this morning, the last 2.5 hours. I'm ready to repent. I'm ready to hit the altar. I don't even know if I can preach, to be very truthful. But, I'm gonna give it my best shot here. It's been crazy. You know, I have MapQuest, and so Theodosia is not very big, but I've been to every end of Theodosia this morning, to the left, to the right, to the east, to the west, to the south, to the north. I've seen it all. I'm an expert on Theodosia this morning. Ask me anything about Theodosia, I'll tell you about it. And so it's been a crazy morning. But I apologize. I apologize to you for getting here a little bit late. I'm glad you didn't leave, though. How long do you usually go on Sunday morning? About 3 or 4 hours, or so we have plenty of time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't want to keep you any longer than you're usually here, I'll hurry along. The last time I was here was about 2.5 years ago, and I was supposed to be here last year, and my wife got sick, and so I had to cancel. And then I got rescheduled again for today, and I almost missed it again. But thank the Lord we got here, and hopefully we can give to you something from God's Word that will be a blessing to you this morning. Do you love the Lord?
Yes, sir.
Do you love the Lord? I love the Lord. I love serving the Lord. That's why I drove 2.5 hours today and didn't give up.
Amen.
Thought about turning around just going back to Springfield, and I figured that I'd really get lost. So I'm almost here. I'm going to make it if I just don't stop. That's another lesson as Christians. We will make it if we just don't give up so early.
Amen.
So many times, you know, the blessings are right around the corner, and we give up too soon. And if we'd have just gotten around that corner, God would have been there to meet us and to... We just give up. We give up too soon, don't we?
Yes,
we have a few detours in life. We have a few difficulties in life, and it's just easy to give up.
Yes.
But we just got to keep going. We got to keep on keeping on. We've got to keep stroking. We got to keep swimming. We got to keep paddling. And if we do, we can't drown. The only way you can drown is if you stop swimming. And so in the Christian life, just keep swimming. Just keep going forward. Keep paddling. Don't give up. Keep your eyes on Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And so thank you for being here today and for just waiting for me. I don't know about you, but I want to live and experience the life that God blesses. As I said earlier, I was here 2.5 years ago, approximately, and it was cold because I think it was in January, And this barrel stove was going and kept us warm and toasty in here. And just in case you maybe forgot everything that I said 2.5 years ago, and just in case you don't even remember that I was here, let me remind you that after 38 years of pastoral ministry in Indianapolis, Indiana, I stepped down at the end of 2015 to become the director of a ministry called Advance. Advance is a global alliance for biblical evangelism, and its mission is to promote an alliance of pastors, churches, and leaders, just like yours, for inner city renewal through Christian initiatives. And there are 5 initiatives that are on my website. You can go to advanceglobal.net. advanceglobal.net, and if you go there, you'll discover the 5 initiatives that I oversee and am involved with. We provide transitional living spaces for men in need, homeless men, coming out of the mission, out from underneath bridges in Indianapolis, and we've got about 24 men that we provide homes for, and that's just a full job in itself, just keeping up with them, and they have a lot of issues. And then we take mission trips, provide missional opportunities, and we're getting ready to take another mission trip to Oaxaca, Mexico in July 17th through the 23rd. If you want to go, you're welcome to do so. Adults, youth, a medical mission team is going with us also, dentistry and a doctor and some nurses. And we're going to be doing VBS. And if you want to get rid of your kids for a week, send them with us, and we'll take good care of them down in Oaxaca, Mexico. They'll have a great time. This will be my 16th trip in the last 9 years, and we always have a great time. And so we do that. We have 3 feeding centers in Indianapolis. We call Trinity House 1, 2, and 3. We feed over 400 people every month in the inner city of Indianapolis. I have a youth program called Urban Youth Ministry of Greater Indianapolis. We go into Indy's public schools with value-based classes during the school day, and we teach them respect. We teach them the importance of education and studying and pulling up your pants and looking like a man and acting like a lady. And sometimes we bring in like Mary Kay representatives, and they'll take the girls and they'll give them a little bit of a makeover. And, you know, for the first time in their lives, they feel beautiful. They feel beautiful. And in this inner city, in our inner cities, just like in Indianapolis, there are a lot of young people have a lot of issues. And I know that young people have issues in the country. I understand that. But in the inner city, there are just a lot of issues. And so we just try to do things to bless them and encourage them. And we're in about 9 schools this year, public schools. And then the biggie is church planting. From 2001 to 2016, we started 27 churches. When I began doing this full time in 2017, we started another 27 churches. We doubled it in just 1 year. This year, the Lord has enabled us to begin 58 new churches, not only in North America, which includes Latin America, but in Asia and in Africa. Just got back from Africa, and since I was here 2.5 years ago when I first began this ministry, Advance, in January, this is one of the first churches that I was able to come and preach and present in Advance. And since then, we've had, by the end of this year, we'll have 13 or 14 different church planting events in Mexico, in Asia, in Africa. Just got back from Uganda. Last October, I was in India. Hardest trip of my life. But we've had about 13 or 14 church planting events. And so we're planning another 58 for a total of 112 new churches that we have begun all around the world. And we do that by empowering nationals to go into villages and towns and back into the bush in Africa where most of us will never go. And we empower them for 1 year. We support them for 1 year to plant a church. And so I visited one of those churches that we started back in June of last year, in January, a few months ago. And there was about 35 people there, and we sang and worshiped and preached and ate with them and fellowshiped with them and just had a great and wonderful time. And it was just wonderful to go back and see what was happening. And so church planting is a big thing. And with all the church planting events, there'll be 9 this year in various countries around the world. And in 2019, by God's grace, we're going to start at least 100 new churches on top of the 112 that we've already started, and most of them over the last 2 years. And so God is doing great things, wonderful things, and I'm very appreciative of churches just like yours that help us accomplish this. And so the love offering that you gave me 2.5 years ago, I took it home, gave it to my assistant, she put it in the bank, and we sent it to church planters all around the world. So you, Long Run Baptist Church, have had a part in accomplishing the things that I have talked to you about here this morning already in this introduction. So thank you for the love offering 2.5 years ago. And if you do something for me today, I'll take it back tomorrow. I'll give it to my assistant. She'll put it in the bank. And next month, we'll send it off to our church planters once again. And so that's why I drove 2.5 hours today to get here. That's why every weekend of the year I'm somewhere preaching the Word of God and presenting in advance. Because I am responsible and obligated. And I promised these church planters around the world that we're going to support them for 1 year to get them started. And so I have to keep going and keep moving. And I drove 8 hours yesterday and 2.5 hours this morning. And I'll drive probably 10 hours back if I can find my way back to Indianapolis. I'll get home sometime tomorrow probably. And but I did that for one main purpose. But I'll give you 3. One is because God called me to preach when I was 17, and so I've got to preach. Number 2, I want to encourage Long Run Baptist Church today to do more for missions than you've ever done before. If you give $1 a month to missions, give $2. If you give $2, give $4. If you give $5, give $10. If you give $10, give $20. If you give $50, give $100. I want to encourage you to do more for missions than you've ever done in your entire life. Not only as individuals, but as a church, as a collective body. And the third reason why I'm here is because, as I've already said, anything that I receive from preaching, 100% of it goes to these church planters around the world. And so I'm here to ask you to be a part of what I am doing. But more than that, I'm here to ask, allow me to be a part of what you're doing and what you need to do. Because churches are to start churches. Churches are to start baby churches. Churches are to reproduce themselves. And so, Long Run Baptist Church, you're responsible to reproduce yourself. And together, we can do this all around the world. And so, serving the Lord is fun. Serving the Lord is exciting. I never thought that I'd have so much fun after 38 years. And I enjoy the going, I enjoy the preaching, I enjoy the presenting, I enjoy being a blessing to pastors in third world countries that have nothing. And the interesting thing is, in these third world countries, for $50 a month for 1 year, we can start one church. For $50 a month. We can't live on $50 a month. But they can. And so it's just a great blessing to be a part of what God is doing all throughout the world. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning and this afternoon. And I thank you for this church and this pastor. I thank you for our friendship. I thank you for his influence in my life. I thank you for the privilege of getting here and preaching in this service here this morning. Lord, I just ask you to fill me with your Spirit, fill us all with your Spirit, and show us exactly what you would have us to learn from your holy word. So, Lord, we love you because you first loved us. And, Lord, help us to be found faithful in your service. And give us ears to hear, a heart of understanding, eyes to see. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen. I want to live the life God blesses. I want God to bless me. I want Him to bless what I touch. I want Him to bless my family. I want Him to bless my children, my marriage. I want Him to bless my church. I want Him to bless the work that He has called us to do. It has been said, God loves to reward us when we diligently seek His presence, His will, and His ways. It's also been stated that our belief determines where we will spend eternity. But our behavior determines how we will spend eternity. Please listen to this. It is the one who is faithful with a little who will receive much one day. The truth is, ever since I was young, there has been a desire deep down inside of me that has said, I want the life that God blesses. There's been something deep down inside of me that has said, I want God's very best for me. Something deep down inside that has said, I want all that God has in store for my life. I remember the first time that I thought these thoughts. I was probably about 11 or 12 years old, and I was outside on the steps of the church, and all the kids were running around, and everybody was having fun, and I was standing there, and it was almost like I had some out-of-body experience. And I remember standing there, and it seems like I was just sort of watching everything take place, and it was just me and God, and the Lord said, if you'll love me, if you'll serve me, I'll give you my best. I remember that distinctly as about a 12-year-old boy. And ever since then, all throughout my life, even up to now age 62, I've wanted the life God blesses. So in spite of my weaknesses and frailties, in spite of my sinfulness and inadequacies, in spite of my failures and fears, I have tried to diligently, in a determined way, to faithfully strive forward in the Christian life. Why? Because I wanted the life God blesses. And after 62 years on planet Earth and over 40 years in the ministry, I still desire the life God blesses. Now, there are some drawbacks if God begins to bless you. There are some drawbacks. Number one, you'll be envied by some. Number two, your motives will be challenged. And number three, you may be disliked by some. However, here's the upside. As God blesses your life, you in return get to bless others. Did you catch that this afternoon? When God begins to bless your life, in return, you get to bless them. One reason that I can bless others is because God has blessed me. And because God has blessed me, I can take and manage what He has given me and steward what He has given me and be faithful over what He has given me. So in return, I can take a portion of that and I can give it to third world church planters all around the world. So when God blesses us, here's the upside. We get to take what He has given us and blessed us with and bless others. You and I get to get up every day and ask, how can I make this world better? We get to get up every day and we get to ask, how can I bless others? We get to ask, how can I use what I have, my money, my talent, my abilities, my things, in the service of Jesus Christ? Today, if you want the life God blesses, please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 24 and chapter 25. Matthew, chapter 24 and 25. Here we are told in three parables, three things. Three parables and three spiritual truths that Christ has shared with us through these parables that will help us to be involved and put ourselves in a place that God will bless us. First of all, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse number 45. Matthew 24 and verse number 45. Number one, God blesses His servants that are active. Say that with me. Active. Say it again. Active. Say it again. Active. God blesses His servants that are active. The Bible says, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, when his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." Say that with me. So doing. Say it again. So doing. "Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of." Verse 51. "And shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I want you to know that God blesses His servants that are active. The Bible says here in this parable that one day when Jesus comes again, He wants to find His servants so doing. He wants us to be active. He wants us to be doing something. A lot of Christians don't do anything. They come to church and that's about it. They might give. That's about it. And beyond that, they really don't do a whole lot. They really don't bless anybody else's life. And I think the majority of Christians probably falls in that category. I've been reading Lang lately, Brother Faust, and I've been reading some things in, I think, about chapter 22 of his book. And he says something about, you know, we grew up always believing that there's only two kinds of people, lost people and saved people. And I've been told that all my life. The Bob Herndings of the world have told us all of our lives there's only two kinds of people. They're saved people or lost people. He says there's a third category, though, that we have forgotten. And those are believers that are carnal. There are a lot of believers that are carnal that fall into that third group that when Jesus comes again are not going to be found so doing. There's going to be punishment. They're going to be cut asunder. I don't understand exactly what that means. I do personally believe that at the judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be loss. Again, I don't understand what all that means, but I do believe it. But the Bible tells us that the Christian, the believer that serves the Lord, and when he comes, is found so doing that he will be blessed. And here's the promise. The Bible says, Jesus, when he comes, will make us rulers. Isn't that a wonderful promise? When He comes, He will make us rulers. That simply tells me that not every believer is going to be a ruler. Not every believer is going to rule and reign with Christ. Not every believer is going to get the same color lollipop at the judgment seat of Christ. Most Christians believe that. Most preachers believe that. You preach that and you're going to get beat up. In fact, when I was here 2.5 years ago, after being here, somebody was watching me. They beat me up. They beat me to a pulp. They put me all over the internet. They lied about me. They said I said things I didn't even say. I had a lady come up to me in one of the churches and they said, I Googled your name and there's some bad stuff on the internet about you. I said, I know. There's not much I can do about it. You know, either you're going to believe it or not going to believe it, but it's not true. She said, well, I listened to some of your message there at the church, this church here, online. And she said, I believe everything you said. I didn't hear anything that I didn't agree with. Do you know there is going to be punishment for the believer that mistreats other believers without cause? Maybe even if we mistreat each other, even with cause. But especially if we mistreat each other without cause. There's great damage that we create in the body of Christ, that we create in the local church that we create in the family of God. There's much hellfire that we create, much damage that we create when we mistreat our brother without cause. What did this carnal believer do here in this parable of Matthew 24? He began to smite the other servants. He began to mistreat the other servants. He was called a hypocrite. Jesus said, cut him asunder. Again, I don't know what that means. It sounds scary to me, whatever it means. But I do know this. At the judgment seat of Christ, there is a reckoning. At the judgment seat of Christ, there is loss. For that third category of people that are carnal believers, that mistreat one another. One day I was talking to my wife and I said, you know, so-and-so in our church, you know, I said, I really think he loves me. I said, and as a result, I love him. I mean, I love people that love me, don't you? It's very difficult to love people that hate you. That's very difficult. And I was talking to my wife, and I said, I really think he likes me. And I'm really drawn to, I really like him. And I thought I was going to get some really, really, you know, great comment from my wife. She looks at me and she says, well, there's no reward in that. But it's true. Jesus never said, I'm going to reward you for loving those that love you. He said, I'm going to reward you for loving those that don't love you, that hate you, that despise you, that persecute you. Great is your reward in heaven. Amen? Matthew chapter 5. When Jesus comes again, He wants to bless us. He wants to bless us in this life. And I want to be blessed in this life. But you know what? Whether I'm blessed in this life or not, I want to be blessed in the life to come. I want to be blessed in this world, but I want to be blessed in the world to come. I want to be blessed in this age, but I really want to be blessed in the age to come. And if we're going to be blessed in the age to come, when Jesus comes again, we're going to have to be so doing. We're going to have to be found doing what Christ wants us to do. And so I'm just here today to encourage Long Run Baptist Church. I'm just here to encourage you. Do something. Do something for missions. Do something for the Lord. Do something for your spouse. Do something for your children. Do something for your enemies. This week, go find your enemy and do something nice for them and bless them and love them. Great is your reward in heaven. And maybe, just maybe one day, when He does come again, Jesus, He will look at us and say, you're going to be one of my rulers. That's the promise. That's the promise. When He comes, we're found doing, He will make us rulers. How many want the life God blesses? Well, we not only have to be active, but also, according to the next parable in chapter 25, we are to be proactive. God blesses a servant that is active. God blesses the servant that is proactive. Look what it says, beginning in verse number 1 of chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. That's remindful of most Christians today. Jesus hasn't come back yet, and most of us are slumbering and sleeping. Verse 6 says, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Verse 9. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. The servant that God blesses is the one that is not only active, but is the one who is proactive. Here we have a parable of 10 virgins. And I understand when I was in Bible college, we're not supposed to get all of our doctrine out of all the parables. And so I understand that. And I understand that the parables of the Bible have one particular point that Christ was trying to make. And I know that we have to be careful trying to interpret. And I understand all of that. But here we have 10 virgins. And the main point I believe that it's teaching us is this. When Jesus comes again, we as believers need to be proactive. We need to be ready when Jesus comes again. There are many things that I could get out of this parable. But the one thing I think it is trying to teach us is this. When Jesus comes, the righteous acts of others are not going to suffice for our lack of righteous acts. We're all going to stand before the Lord one day and give an account of ourselves. What we did, what we said, how we acted, how we reacted. We're going to give an account of ourselves. I don't have to give an account for your pastor. He doesn't have to give an account for me. You don't have to give an account for him. He doesn't have to give an account for you. I understand that as pastors we have to give an account. But you understand this particular point that I'm making, that each of us are going to stand individually before the Lord. Yes, Pastor Faust and any pastor, we are going to give an account of our church and the people, and we're going to give some kind of answer to the Lord. The Bible teaches that. That's why we are to be submissive. That's why we are to be obedient. That's why we are to love those that are here to guard our souls. But the point is this, that each of us individually are going to answer one day before the Lord for ourselves. For ourselves. And when Jesus comes again, what did the five virgins say to that were ready to the five virgins that were not ready? They said, go get your own oil. Go get your own righteous acts. Go to the city and buy your own. You see, what I do doesn't suffice for what you ought to do, and what you do doesn't suffice for what I ought to do. Each of us individually will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account. And when He comes, we need to be found ready. And here's the promise. He invites us to a feast. He invites us to a feast. Now, if I say anything in this message today that contradicts what your pastor has taught you, you just believe what he has taught you. Because he's far smarter than I am. I'm still learning these things. But the point is this. Jesus one day said to his disciples, I will not eat or drink of this cup or of this bread with you again until I enter into my kingdom. I believe the marriage supper of the Lamb, which I believe is speaking of here in this parable of Matthew 25, is going to take place at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And Jesus said to those five virgins that were ready, come and dine. He promised them a feast. I believe we as Christians who are proactive, who are making something happen in the Christian life, in the Christian world, in our church, in the kingdom of God in Christ, I believe we who are getting up every day and making something happen, I believe we're going to be invited to the great feast in that millennial kingdom one day. That's exciting. But it also means some aren't going to be invited. Some are going to be excluded. But those that were proactive, those that got up and made something happen. You know, a lot of Christians, they sit around wondering, what happened? Do you know any like that? What happened, Pastor? They want the church to grow if somebody else will make it grow, make it happen. They want souls to be saved as long as someone else is winning the souls, someone else making it happen. We want to plant churches as long as someone else is giving to plant the churches. We want to do God's service as long as someone else is sacrificing to do it. No. Jesus said, when I come, I want to find people who are proactive, who are getting up every day and making something happen for me. That's why I came here today. That's why I'll be in Atlanta, Georgia the next 3 weekends. If I'm not preaching somewhere in the United States or somewhere around the world, I'm in 30 minutes south of Atlanta, Georgia every Sunday as an interim pastor. And I'll fly down every Saturday at 3, come back every Sunday at 10, last flight of the day. Then why would you do that? Because when he comes, I want him to find me proactive, making something happen. That's why I went to India last October. They put us on a cattle car from Kodi, India, back to Delhi, New Delhi. They gave us a bunk that was 2x6. I took the top bunk. Hardly could even get up there. It was so high. It was hot and stuffy for 6 hours on that train. I felt like cattle would feel. You don't get off the train when it stops. You just go to the next town in India. I've still been. You think I'm lost over here in some alphabet highway in Missouri? I'd still be in India somewhere if I hadn't gotten off the train. 6 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, we're having an argument, a fight with a bunch of Indians because they didn't want to take our luggage to the van. I'm thinking, I'm not making it back. Jesus just take me on home, you know. Make the suffering short. Somehow we got out of there. Hardest trip of my life. Why would you do that? Because when he comes, I want him to find me so doing. I want him to find me proactive. I want him to find me getting up and doing something. Took us 13 hours to fly from New York to Liberia, Africa. And we decided that we're going to go on to Uganda for another church planting event and theology class. And so we flew from Liberia to Uganda, and I figured, you know, it's the same continent, can't be too far. It was 18 hours. You can put 3 United States of Americas in the continent of Africa. That's how big Africa is. Out of 15 days, 9, I slept in Africa without any air conditioning. I won't do that again. I'll go back to Africa, but I'm going to find the air conditioning. It was suffocating. Why would you do that? Because when Jesus comes again, he wants to find us proactive. And there's a promise. Here's the promise. He invites us to a feast. We're getting ready to take 28 people down to Oaxaca, Mexico. Why? Because when he comes, I want him to find me proactive. We're going back in September for 3 church planting events. Last year we had, 2 years ago we had 1. Last year we had 2 in Oaxaca. Oaxaca Coastal and Oaxaca Central. And the coast was the first one. Because of the hurricane and the floods and everything, and the roads were out, for 14 hours I sat in the back seat of a car with a bunch of Mexicans like this. Now you have to understand this about Mexicans. They love close quarters. They could have invited 5 or 6 more friends and they'd have been happy. But we Americans, we don't like that. We like our space. You know what I mean? Where are you from? Cambodia. Okay. Just want to make sure. I'm going to Cambodia in August. Yes, and Vietnam and Bangkok. Myanmar. We started 3 churches in Myanmar this year. God willing, we're going to start another 7 with one group and 25 with another group that is there. I don't want to get on a plane for 18 hours to go to Bangkok. But I'm going to do it for 2 reasons. Number one, my daughter lives there. And number two, if Jesus comes, I want him to find me proactive. Getting up and doing something every day for him. Making his church, making his kingdom, making his work go forward. And there's a promise. He'll make us rulers, and he'll invite us to a feast. Do you want to live the life God blesses? Well, there's something else we need to do, according to the next parable. We not only need to be found active, we not only need to be found proactive, but when he comes again, we need to be found productive. Look what it says in chapter 25, beginning with verse number 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Verse 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. He doubled those. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest thou unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. I've doubled them, Lord. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And what did Jesus say? You're good, faithful. What did he say? I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Verse 24. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, I was fearful, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. Abundance. Say it with me. Abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. In this last parable, he teaches us that when he comes, he wants us to be found productive. Not only active, just doing something. Just do something. But also proactive. Going out and making something happen for Christ's work. Just make it happen. By giving, by going, by doing, by serving. By loving. But when he comes, he also wants to bless us by finding us productive. A lot of Christians spin their spiritual wheels. I know a lot of Christians, they're doing things, but they're just spinning their wheels. They're really not going anywhere fast. I want to be productive. One reason that we are doing missions the way that we're doing them and empowering nationals is because of the words of a pastor in Myanmar to my friend Dr. Bruce Snavely with the Global Baptist Training Foundation. He told him, he said, the reason that Myanmar is still 89% Buddhist, he said, because the American missionary is not the answer. He didn't say that the American missionary was not part of the answer. He's saying they are not the answer. And until the Burmese reach the Burmese will never be reached. Until the Cambodians reach the Cambodians, they will never be reached. Until those in Vietnam reach the Vietnamese, they will never be reached. And so we empower. I believe in missions. I believe in the American missionary. I believe that we are to go. And if God calls you, I have a kid that grew up in our church. He and his family are in Siberia, Russia. I told him, I said, I'm glad that it's God's will for you to go to Russia and not me. Aren't you glad that it was God's will for him to go to Russia and not you? I would not want to live in ice-cold Siberia, Russia. That sounds like a miserable place to be. But if God calls you Siberia, Russia, you better go. I'm for the American missionary. That family had to raise $25,000 just to leave in Annapolis, get to Siberia, and set up an apartment. For $25,000, I can start 50 new churches tomorrow. I have a goal to begin 250 churches in all 64 countries of Africa. It's a big goal. But when Jesus comes again, I want to be productive. Productive. In Liberia, we have another 110 church planters ready to go in 2019. In Uganda, we already have 24 new applications that have been turned in, and probably that will double. We haven't even gotten to Mexico yet, to Oaxaca and León in the state of Guanajuato. And there, we've already started nearly 50 churches, and there might be another 50 this year. If we have 150 new church planters for next year around the world, you know why I'm here? Because I want Pastor Faust and Long Run Baptist Church to be a part so that together we can accomplish that. Because when Jesus comes again, he wants to find us productive. And you know what? We only have to be productive based on our ability to be productive. If you can only start one church, start one church. If you can start 10, start 10. If you can start 100, start 100. I believe there's a day that we'll be able to start 1,000 churches per year all around the world. When I was in Uganda, the missionary, American missionary we're working with, he said, he told me, I've been here for 24 years and we started 12 churches. That's one every 2 years. That's pretty good. Pretty good for one guy. In 2019, together, through Advance, my ministry, we're going to be able to help them triple that in 1 year. He did that in 24 years. We can triple it in 1 year. That's productivity. That's just cool stuff. I don't know about you, but that lights my fire. That's exciting. I'm not telling you all this to brag. I'm telling you all this because I'm bragging on God. I mean, 2.5 years ago when I was here in January, we were just starting out. I just had kind of a dream. I just had kind of a little vision here. We hadn't done anything yet, hardly. And after the last 2.5 years, 112 churches have been established and possibly another 150 next year. It's just crazy. But I've not had more fun all my life. I mean, there is a reward for pastoring. I pastored for 38 years. There is a reward for pastoring. But I'll be very truthful with you, and I can say this because I'm the pastor of Long Run Baptist Church. I like what I'm doing a whole lot better than pastoring. I don't have anybody picking on me. I don't have anybody banging on me. I don't have anybody pecking at me. I don't have anybody saying, Pastor, the music's too loud. Pastor, I don't like this. Pastor, I don't like that. I don't have anybody bothering me anymore. It's kind of fun. I mean, I drove 2.5 hours here and just nobody bothered me at all. My wife had been with me. Oh, Lord have mercy. I've been pecked on all the way here, I'll guarantee you. I know none of you wives do that. I understand that. You all are perfect, and your husbands are perfect, and I understand that. But my wife married an imperfect man, and so as a result, I get a lot of pecking on the head from her. She'd be so mad at me right now. Why didn't you follow directions? You never follow directions. You never follow directions. And I'd have to say, you're right, I never do. I'm so glad I'm by myself this morning. I'm so glad she decided to stay home. I hope she's not watching. I know what some of you ladies will do. You'll be texting her. Go to website, ma. She's so beautiful and loving and wonderful. Got to make up here. What's the point? When Jesus comes again, if He finds us productive, listen to the promise, He welcomes us into His joy. All my life I've been told, that's heaven. All my life I've been told, that's eternity. All my life I've been told, you know, that's the New Jerusalem. No, that is the millennial kingdom of Christ on earth. Yes, it will one day be delivered to the Father, which is in heaven. I understand that. I understand the three aspects of the kingdom. It's spiritual now. It will be earthly. And one day it will be eternal. I understand. I understand. But in this passage, when Jesus says to these servants that are productive, that doubled what they had, that stewarded what they had, that managed what they had, and then used it for God's work. A lot of us are like the third servant, the wicked, slothful servant. The reason we don't do anything for the Lord because we're fearful. People say to me, why are you going to Africa? Aren't you fearful? Yeah, sometimes, but I got to go. You go down to Oaxaca. Last year, 2 years ago, we took a group of 20 kids to Oaxaca. And 2 weeks before we got there, where we were going to have VBS, 10 people were murdered. 10 people were killed, shot and killed by the government of Mexico. In this town, we were having VBS 2 weeks before we left. Aren't you worried? Yeah, maybe a little. But fear should never keep us from doing what God has called us to do. I'm not saying there's not a time to stop. I'm not saying there's not a time that if our government said if you shouldn't go to Africa or you shouldn't go here or you shouldn't go there, I'm not going to go. If our government says, I've got an advisory warning out to American citizens, you shouldn't go to another country, I'm not going to go until it's all cleared up. I'll be very truthful with you. But the point is, we fear when we don't even have a need to fear many times. God has given all of you talent and ability and money and funds and opportunity. And it's our responsibility to take it and to grow it and to steward it and to be faithful over it and to manage it, to enjoy. Yes, I'll be very truthful. I enjoy life. I have fun in life. Am I going to lie to you? I enjoy life as often as possible. I enjoy life. My wife, she'll take 6 months to buy something. She's the most frugal thing you ever saw in your life. Me, if I want it, I'm going to go buy it. He says, you could have saved. I said, yeah, if I want to wait 6 months. I don't want to wait 6 months. I want it now. She tells me, she says, you get ahead of God. She's probably right. She's probably right. Sometimes I got to stop. I like being productive. But some people are so fearful, they don't do anything. They don't do anything. I don't know if I have the right motive. Well, I don't know either. I don't know, but I'd rather do something with a wrong motive than nothing with no motive. And just hope God has some mercy on me one day at the judgment seat of Christ. That I did something. What's the promise? He welcomes us into His joy. Isn't that exciting? I want God's blessings now. And He promises us blessings. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard what God has prepared for us that love Him. I believe that has to do with the now and now. I want God's blessings now. But you know what? Whether I get them now or not, I truly want His blessings in His coming kingdom, in the age to come. And He will say, well done. He will say, I'm going to make you a ruler. He will invite us to a feast. He will say, welcome into my joy. If we're active, if we're proactive, if we're productive servants of the Lord, we will enjoy the life. God bless us. This is why, through Advance, we are planning church events all over the world. We go in and we plant Baptist churches. I'm a Baptist. Use the King James Bible. We plant Baptist churches. That's what we do. We do that because I want to be involved in the life God blesses. That's why we empower national pastors in third world countries to start churches and to disciple their nation. That's why I travel and preach and raise money and develop global alliances to plant churches all over the world. That's why I'm here to ask you, just don't help me to accomplish that. But I'm here to ask you, let me help you to accomplish that. And together. Long Run Baptist Church. let me tell you something about small churches. The majority of churches I preach in across the country are small churches, just like this one. Numerically. Doesn't mean you're small spiritually. Numerically. Most churches I preach in are small churches. They can do more for Christ's work than the larger churches. You know why? Because your overhead is smaller. They've just got more bills. Bigger headaches. Long Run Baptist Church, let me challenge you today to be active, proactive, and productive. You could start 5 churches next year around the world. You could start 20 churches around the world. You can start 50 churches around the world if you want to. You see, we do what we want to do. That's why we're American. That's what makes us Americans. We do what we want to do. Right or wrong, we do what we want to do. I'm an American. We need to do what Christ has commanded us to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I want blessed in this life, but I really want blessed in the life to come. And if I'm active, if I'm proactive, if I'm productive, I will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I will hear, I'm going to make you a ruler. I'm going to hear, yes, enter into the joy of the Lord. I'm going to hear, I am inviting you to my feast that I prepared for you. God wants to bless us. We just need to put ourselves in a position to be blessed. Our Lord Jesus, thank you for the privilege of being in this church today. I just thank you for this pastor. I thank you for these people. I just thank you for the Word of God. How challenging it is to us. Lord, I pray that we'll take what we have heard and act upon it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Dixon. We sure appreciate that, brother. I love how you laid that out, brother, to be active, proactive, and productive. And that's one thing you have a gift of. You have many gifts, a great speaker. But I appreciate the opportunity to enter in and partake of your gift of organizing and being active and starting things. And he thrives off that stuff, like he said. He really does. I mean, you bulldoze down his church, you know, millions of dollars, not his church, but his church building, millions of dollars of property, and he's going to organize it all back up, and he does it by God, and he has a gift of that. And so we've been trying to support him monthly, and we're going to try to do even more with that. But let's try to help him with a love offering today. And so when we close, just come up, and you can put it in the offering box, whatever you like to share. And let's at this time go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, we do thank you for an inspiring message, Father. We do thank you for the gifts that you've given Brother Greg and the vision that he has for starting these churches around the world, God. What you've called us to do, it's in the Great Commission, Lord. And thank you for his vision of going and helping small churches accomplish that in a bigger way. And being a part of supporting that work. We thank you, Lord, that it's being done. So we thank you for him, and we pray in whatever way that we can be a blessing to him and have been, and thank you for his blessing to us. Prosper him, bless him, help him as we all continue to grow together in Jesus' holy name. Amen. All right, you are dismissed.